Hey, this is Carlos Cavallo. Welcome back to the show this week. I thought I'd talk a little bit about something that, well, it's kind of a hot topic, but it's also a controversial topic because I think for the last, 10, 15 years even, it's become a point of contention with most of our dating and relationship woes. And what is that thing I'm going to talk to you about? It's, of course, online dating. Shh, don't go. No, stay. Wait. Don't hit stop. Don't do it. Don't do it. Wait. Hear me out. I want to talk about how to make online dating work for you. I mean, in the last few years, it's become a point of contention because a lot of people feel like online dating isn't working for them. But there's also a lot of people that feel like online dating does work for them. So why is it that we talk so much about this one thing? I mean, you look online and there's just so many articles about it. There's online dating this, online dating that. You've got Tinder. You've got all these other apps now to help you date online. And yes, you can actually use Tinder for dating, ladies. The question is still out there. Does online dating work? And who does it work for? Does it work for anybody? Well, I think it does. And I think the key difference here is how you use it, how you put it in the scheme of your dating life. By that scheme, I mean, how are you using it? I read a book a while back. The book was called Multiple Streams of Income. And it was a book about, of course, investing, wealth creation, things like that. And it was a very popular book at the time. But the one thing I got from it, I mean, actually, the funny thing is, you could just read the title and go, oh, okay, I get it. I got to have multiple streams of income. That makes total sense. Duh, why didn't I think of that before? Because the book itself didn't explain a whole heck of a lot in terms of clarifying that or how to go about it. But, you know, so what I did is I took that concept, that theory of multiple streams of income, and I applied it to dating. And I called it multiple streams of female income. Okay, it may not be the most catchy title, but then I had to change it to multiple streams of dating income. Okay, that's still kind of weak, but you get the idea. I was trying to think of different ways to make my dating life a little more resilient, a little more fault tolerant, if you will. In other words, if one particular avenue didn't pan out, I always had the ability to go to another one, to meet new people, or to go out and do things, or to just, you know, generally not feel like I was alone. When it comes down to it, that's really what it's about in a lot of ways, is not feeling like you're alone, not feeling like you're basically lonely in most ways. Sometimes online dating is just as much about kind of pacifying and getting rid of those feelings of inadequacy just because we don't have a partner in our life. It doesn't mean you're actually searching for or have a love interest, but it does mean getting rid of those negative feelings that are often associated with it. So how do you make online dating work? Well, there's a couple of ways you can make it work. And the first is the thing I was telling you about, which is multiple streams of income. So for you, it'd be multiple streams of male income. Now, this may not seem very, when I talk to women, I get the impression that most women view dating as a very monogamous pursuit, if you will. The monogamy part of it being that they can only date one guy. They can only be romantically involved with one guy. And I think that's true to a certain degree. I think you want to be monogamous for sure at a certain point. But up until that point, and when I say that point, I'm putting in quotes because it's a very flexible place in your relationship with a person. That point in a relationship could be anywhere from several weeks to several months down the road. And I think by eliminating other possibilities too early, we often sabotage our relationships. So back to the question, Carlos, how do you do it? Well, first of all, multiple streams of income and dating means you've got to have more than one active way to be meeting guys. And just courting guys and talking to guys in general. It doesn't even matter if you're really going to be romantically involved with them. So number one is have more of those ways to meet them, not just online dating, because if you've put all your hopes and aspirations and all your energy into online dating and then dating, it doesn't pan out or for whatever reason, you run into a streak of not so good, or you run into this streak of not such a great result from it, you're going to get a little jaded and you're going to be like, oh, this online dating sucks. I don't want to date at all. And then you write off dating completely, even though it was just the mechanism that you were using. So don't just use online dating. Use multiple ways of meeting guys. Use speed dating. Use personal ads. Use singles events. Go to your friends' parties and single, and just go to social things in general. I mean, most women and most guys actually prefer to meet people that are friends of somebody in their social circle. So you can do that by connecting through Facebook even. There's just so many ways. But the funny thing is, when I talk to people, and especially when I coach women as well as men, whenever I say, look, there are so many ways to meet people, and I'll list them all off, and they'll go, yeah, but. Now, yeah, but, unfortunately, is one of the most disabling things you can say, because yeah, on one hand, says that you're agreeing with me, and then the but means, oh, I'm going to come up with something that's kind of a frivolous response to that so that I can get out of admitting that I should be using that. It's a little harsh, but it's actually what's happening on the inside there, okay? So if we want to make online dating work, and that's the one I'm focusing on with you right now, how do we do it? Well, first of all, be careful about your filtering, okay? When you're using the systems or the dating services like Plenty of Fish or Match.com or any of those things, you know, are you trying to find a guy that, you know, his favorite book is Moby Dick or his favorite author is Stephen King? Well, you can do that, but unfortunately, that doesn't really mean that's a valid criteria for meeting. And unfortunately, science has shown that they've actually done a lot of work with the online dating companies, I think Match.com in particular, that very often the kind of person that we say we want didn't really match up with the type of person we're really interested in. In other words, we go online and we start to filter too much. We try and screen out because we think since we can choose this and that and this and that and check this box and uncheck that box and look for this and that, that we should. And honestly, all the little criteria and things that they put on Match.com are not necessarily matching criteria. The reality is almost none of it is. You would be very surprised if you took two people that met outside of an online dating service, made them sit down and put up a profile. It's actually probably unlikely that those two profiles would match very well and that they would have even met each other online. Why is that? Well, for the most part, it's because they're being too picky. They're being too selective about it. They're putting in too many filters on what it is they're looking for. The reality is just because you see that some guy likes, Guns N' Roses, that's one of his favorite bands, that does not mean that your relationship would not be good because of that. And you're still going to be tempted to say, ooh, Guns N' Roses, dude, that's like 80s, 90s stuff. No way. And so you eliminate him based on that one completely frivolous bit of information that, yeah, maybe he shouldn't even probably even put into his profile at all. But guess what? You used it in a way that deselected him. And the reality is that you should probably meet, if he basically tickles your fancy at all in terms of it looks like there might be a little bit of chemistry there, you should take the chance. Because quite honestly, most of the things we put in our profile are, I won't say distortions, I'd say that they're subjective, depending on where the person is in their life and what they're thinking and what they're feeling. They're putting in criteria that really don't necessarily match them, and they don't even know they're doing it. They're not intentionally trying to mislead you. Well, sometimes they are, but not all the times, all right? So pass on all that other junk and misinformation about what's going on online. There's actually a lot of guys out there that are legitimately looking for a woman, and women that are legitimately looking for a man, and they're not trying to deceive anybody. But at the same time, what are they trying to do? They're trying to put on their best face for the person they want to meet. They don't want to look like a low-grade target. They don't want to look like a B player. They want to look like an A-list, right? They want to look like the top draft on the NFL. They want to be the one person everybody wants. And it's not realistic. So keep that in mind. So don't filter too much. What's another thing you can do to really get the best out and make online dating work? Well, first of all, I talked about the filtering, but at the same time, pictures. You really, really got to focus more on your pictures. Your pictures are much more important than the information you put into your profile. Yet, that's exactly the opposite as to what most people do. They spend for hours and days and weeks trying to create this perfect profile. But you got to ask, does it pay off? Does all that effort pay off? Well, unfortunately, no. The lengthy profiles, when they study these things scientifically, lengthy profiles don't make any difference. As a matter of fact, lengthy profiles actually turn off more people because there's more chance for you to say something that will make them, what? Do that error I was just talking about, over-filter. So don't put so much information in there. So what I'm going to recommend is if you're a woman, you got to take a high-angle selfie if you're going to do selfies. I would prefer something that you have a little more professionally done. I'm going to tell you this up front, cleavage. It does work. It doesn't matter how big your boobs are. It's actually the cleavage factor that makes the difference. This is one of the things that most women don't really understand, is that guys don't need big boobs. What we're looking for actually is cleavage that says, I've got boobs. And we're not always willing to squint at a screen to figure out, does she have any boobs at all? I don't know. I got to see if she's got boobs. Boobs are one of those points of contention. I know there's going to be a lot of women that are going to hear this and go, Carlos, you bastard. You used the B word. You had to talk about her boobies. Yes, I did, because it's realistic. It's a realistic thing, okay? I'm not going to sit here on the show and try and blow smoke up your skirt on this. The reality is women need to hint at the fact that they've got boobs. It doesn't really matter how big they are, but you've got to maximize that asset because it is something that men are attracted to. Think about the things that you are visually attracted to in a guy. There's a lot that you are actually probably not aware of, by the way. Things like a prominent chin. Believe it or not, 5 o'clock shadow is an attractive feature because, and you'll notice that it's every rugged, cool, hot, sexy guy in every romantic comedy eventually has that kind of look to him because it basically shows the trait of possessing testosterone. His face grows hair. He must have testosterone. Yet this is something that completely escapes our conscious perception. So before we get all down on guys for liking boobies, let's go back to the reality. The reality is we all have something we're visually attracted to. And the best part is this one's easy. You know it already. Boobs. You got to have a little cleavage, all right? But I'm not saying being sexual in your picture is right. I'm just saying you must hint at a physique that a man can be attracted to. All right. Hopefully that's taken in the right way and I don't get a lot of hate mail, but whatever. You know where the forum is. You know how to reach me. You want to know a dirty, hidden little secret about cleavage? Women's eyes go to cleavage just as much as men's do. They did scientific studies where they tracked eye motion, and in advertisements, print advertisements especially, they had them where the cleavage was more prominent and visible, and women's eyes went there actually first. That's right. More likely, though, that the women were trying to assess the threat potential of these women. But the fact remains, cleavage draws attention. Because the reality is, if you're a guy, I would tell him, get a shot of yourself, basically, scuba diving in a dark cave underwater while holding a puppy and looking away from the camera and don't smile. The reality is that that's true. Guys holding animals did better than guys who weren't. Guys did better when they were engaged in some kind of interesting activity, and that's just the way it works. These are scientific things, and we don't even necessarily need to know why. Oh, by the way, men who look away or are looking slightly away from the camera and aren't smiling do way better than those who actually do. Go think that one through, because you might give that advice logically that says, oh, you should just look at the camera and smile like everybody else does. But the reality is that's not what makes a man attractive to the camera. All right, enough said. Of course, there's the last thing. There's a great book out there, by the way, called The Paradox of Choice. It's a great book. I read it years ago, and I'm so glad I did, because there's so few books of that nature that really are worth it these days. But I highly encourage you, go out to Amazon.com, pick it up, or get the Kindle version. It's really, really good. The Paradox of Choice, Why More is Less, and it's by Barry Schwartz. And what it's talking about is this weird cognitive process that we have of choice and selection, and how having more choice actually cripples us from making a good choice. In other words, having more options at our disposal doesn't make us necessarily better choosers. It makes it actually harder to choose something. As a band I love had in one of their lyrics, too much choice actually makes you change your mind because you have so much of it. And because we're actually less satisfied with our choice if we know there's so much more choice out there. If you had 100 restaurants to choose from, you'd go to one restaurant, eat a meal, and you wouldn't be as happy about it at the end because you, in the back of your head, you knew that there was like 100 other restaurants you could have chosen at the same time. This was just but one of them. Yet if there are 3 restaurants and this was one of them, you would be much more happy about your meal. It sounds crazy, but it's reality. It's psychology, and it's how we have to understand how dating works. And this is one important fact about dating, which is that we have too many options. All right, so they've also done studies about this relating to everything from shoppers to online dating. If there's too much of anything out there, you won't be as happy with what you've got because you know that there's more to go get and more to go try and more to go see. So the way to avoid this problem is to give each choice a fair chance. Don't let yourself become overwhelmed and what I call fall into the Walmart mentality when it comes to online dating. Yes, you're going to have a lot of choices. However, finding a good one in there is all a matter of perception. You may think all of those choices are good, but they're not necessarily. So you got to bring your expectations back down in line with the number of choices there are. Oh, and this isn't just a theory. They have actually done studies about this, about personality and social psychology. It was actually in the Journal of Personality and Social Psychology. University of Texas psychologists Paul Eastwick and Lucy Hunt suggest that in dating contexts, a person's looks, charisma, and professional success actually might matter less for relationship success than other factors that we each value differently, things like tastes and preferences. In fact, what they wrote about was that very few people initiate romantic relationships based on first impressions. Instead, they fall for each other gradually until an unexpected or maybe a long-awaited spark actually changes a friendship into something more sexual and serious. Think about this in terms of music. When a new song comes on the radio, and you're like maybe from U2, and you're like, what's the song? Oh, it's another U2 song. Big deal. Heard this one. Next. And then you keep hearing it, and you think, oh, you know what? This is a pretty good song, U2. You did it again. You did it for me. You get the idea there? The more time you spend with a person, the more likely you're going to get that person stuck in your head. So, again, first impressions can be very often misleading. And again, nobody wants to invest too much on a first date, right? After all, the odds are it's not going to be a great love connection, and it's hard to get excited about a new person while you're doing your resume exchange over noodles and sushi or something like that. So stack the deck to your benefit and hold on to what I call the rally theory of dating, which is don't sit across from your date at a table sipping a drink, talking about, you know, where you grew up and what you wanted to be when you were a kid. Instead, do something adventurous together. That engagement level, doing something playful or maybe stimulating, actually will tell you more about the rapport and the actual reality of interaction, because we can sit there over drinks and dinner and behave all we like. We can act up a storm. We can be the perfect person for the other person, but it doesn't mean it's real. And these are the things, the illusions that fall away after time anyways. So there you go. I hope I have not blasted you too hard with all this information, but it is important that you pull all the information I've just talked to you about and really change the way you look at online dating. Give it a little bit more thought and credibility in terms of what you're doing, what you're trying to accomplish, and how you're trying to do it, because it might not be accurate or true to what you want to accomplish. All right. So think about that. Think about online dating. Think about how you want to use it. And I guarantee you, if you can come up with a realistic way to use it, it will come through for you. This is Carlos Cavallo, and I'll be back again next week with more interesting stuff. And I probably won't be talking about online dating, but hey, you never know. Some new study might come out and make me look like an idiot. I don't know. And I promise I won't talk about boobies and cleavage. Actually, I can't promise that either, but I'll do my best. This is Carlos Cavallo. I'll be talking again soon. And hey, get those selfies up on the web. I'll be talking again soon.
DatingAdviceGuru.com, the Dating Advice Guru podcast and YouTube content, and all content herein is copyright Morpheus Productions, LLC. Feel free to contact Carlos at www.datingadviceguru.com, on the forum, or click the Ask Carlos link on the site. We welcome your comments and questions.